IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast supported by Pragati, a flagship media initiative of the Takshashila Institution. We're a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like to bring a fresh perspective to Indian affairs and an Indian perspective to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of All Things Policy. I am Kingshuk Shah, a researcher at the Takshila Institution. With me is Dr. Satrupa Shin, a linguist by training. She has taught English language and linguistics in the English and Foreign Language University, Nalanda University, and is currently teaching in Bengal Institute of Science and Technology. Today we'll discuss language policy in India, its effect and impact on society. Hello, Satrupa. It's great to have you in All Things Policy.
Hello, Kingshuk. It's an honor to be here today. Thank you for calling me.
Yeah, you are welcome. Language is an inalienable part of any culture. It is the way by which people communicate with one another, build relationship, and create a sense of community. In India, according to the census of 2001, we have 122 major languages and 1599 other languages that are being spoken. The 8th schedule of Indian Constitution lists 22 languages, which have been referred as scheduled languages and given recognition, status, and official encouragement. Language has always been a politically sensitive topic. Movement of linguistic states started in India even before independence. Orissa being a case point, it was separated from Bengal in 1936. And there have been agitation against imposition of Hindi in southern India pre-independence, when it was known as Madras state. So Satrupa, like, were there any language policy in British India?
See, in British India, although there were not a very clear-cut language policy as we see today, but there was, of course, a language policy at that point of time. In 18th century, English became much more prevalent, and by 1835, English was made the official language at both central and provincial state levels. However, English was not used throughout the entire administrative system. The lower administrative system used regional languages. Also, Urdu got the status of the second official language in the last quarter of the 19th century. So in different pockets of India, British India, use different regional languages as their official language for the lower administration and official work. For example, in Bengal province, they use Bengali, and Bengal province at that point of time included Bengal, Orissa, a part of Bihar, Northeast as well. So similarly, some pockets of North India, like the rest of Bihar, Uttar Pradesh or Madhya Pradesh, in these areas, Hindi, or rather Hindustani, was used as the lower level of official language, as in, like, you know, lower level administrative language. So yeah, at that point of time, English was much more prevalent, but they also gave importance to the regional languages. And it's very interesting because pre-British era, instead of Urdu, Persian had a much higher status in terms of being an administrative language. But during the British era, the Persian got slowly replaced by Urdu. And now we see Urdu has been replaced by Hindi. Now, the question how Hindi became so prominent in India today, you know, nationalists began to fight against the British colonization, and the national movement leaders, they drew attention to languages of Indians as a sign of national identity. In fact, the leaders organized itself on the basis of linguistic and cultural region. The leaders of national movement were very sensitive about using an indigenous language. Throughout the movement, the need for developing the different mother tongues or regional languages was felt with political awakening and regional consciousness. And we can get proof of these different sorts of how our leaders felt and how they actually try to incorporate the regional languages in different political agenda, we can get a glimpse of it in the writings of N.K. Prasad, 1979, page number 49. And at that point of time, to be against English meant to be against British rule. So then an idea came up that which language would be the kind of the token, the model language to indicate a national unity or integrity. So the name Hindustani came up. So slowly it became Hindi. But that point of time, it was Hindustani. In fact, Nehru Committee report of 1928, the press state boundaries on the basis of linguistic factors, and the Congress Party accepted Hindustani as the official language of the party functions. But this did not really solve the problems because, of course, India is a vast country. It's multilingual and it has numerous ethnic groups with numerous languages. So, of course, there were some sort of resistance from different other parts against Hindustani, which we see today that there is a resistance against implementation of Hindi everywhere. So, yes, there was a little problem against Hindustani also, but Hindustani was majorly the kind of the face language of the movement, that kind of thing. As is seen throughout the independence movement, official language had relative importance. Under charismatic authority of our great freedom fighters and leaders, Hindustani was actually chosen very carefully because it maintained a bridge between different religious communities. Hindustani was chosen and partially applied as an official language. And in addition, there were not really any program for implementation and development of Hindustani at that point of time, because Hindustani was rather being used as the face language of the nationalistic movement. Yeah. So,
okay. Satrupa, like what you said about this, it was basically the pre-independent India. So there was a transition from Persian to Urdu, Urdu to
Hindustani,
and from then to English, like as a mode of official language. But how was the language?
English was already implemented by the Britishers as the official language. Okay. So during it was the nationalistic movement which tried to slowly replace English with Hindustani as the language of the mass.
So but carrying forward, like, yeah. So I will ask you, like, how was the language policy decided after 47? You know, after like independence, and what factor gave rise to the implementation, if there is any language policy as such?
Yes, there is a language policy in India, and this is a three language policy, which has a very, very big role to play in India's education policy as well. So the three language policy says that India has English, and then India will also adopt Hindi, and the third language would be a regional language. So currently, so on January 26, 1950, when Constitution of India was accepted, during that time only, the official language policy was also came into the being, which says that India doesn't have a single language designated as the national language. India is a multilingual and multicultural country. Due to that, the dialect, rather the varieties and languages change every few kilometers. Although approximately 40% of the population understand some or the other variety of Hindi, the founding fathers of the constitution decided not to declare any language as the quote-unquote national language in order to protect the interest of the remaining 60% of Indian citizens. So, according to the Article 343 of Indian Constitution, by 2022, a total of 22 languages are recognized as official language. Although the three language policy, which is a big part of Indian education policy, that says that the medium of instruction can be either English or Hindi or any regional language. Also, a student should be taught English, Hindi, and another regional language as a part of the three language policy. And this is the kind of official policy of India right now.
Yeah, I think like this is the reason why, you know, the official language act 1963 allowed the continuation of English alongside Hindi. in Indian government indefinitely until the legislation decide to change. Because like Hindi may be popular in like in the northern India, but if you look at southern India or eastern India, like it's not the main language. And there's a strong resistance of people against it.
Yes, the proponents of Indian constitution, they thought that slowly they would replace English with other Indian languages. But considering the day and the age, I personally do not see a day when English would be completely replaced by some other language and we can do away with the language, because of course it's the language of, it's an international language, and rather more than language, English is a tool to communicate with the whole, with the rest of the world and probably with the aliens as well.
Yeah, true. I think like Napoleon would be turning in his grave like when he said, you know, English is the language of shopkeeper, but it seems the language of the shopkeepers has taken over the world.
Yes.
So, like, what role did the language policy of India play in the formation of state in independent India? Like, can you just tell us a bit about it?
Of course. See, language is very much related to some people's identity, people's ethnicity. It's very natural that people are careful about their own linguistic and cultural identity. So even before India was independent, the formation of Orissa, that gave us the idea that a dominant language cannot be always dominant over other linguistic communities. Because at that point of time, Orissa was under Bengal, and in Orissa, Bengali was kind of used as the medium of instruction or as the official languages, one of the official language. But at the same time, they were the Oriya speakers. So of course, they wanted their own representation. They wanted their identities, their ethnicity, their culture, heritage, everything to be recognized. So even pre-independence, Orissa state was formed based on this linguistic identity sentiments. So after independence, on November 1956, Andhra Pradesh emerged as the first linguistic state. In October 1953, the government of India was forced to create the first linguistic state known as Andhra Pradesh by separating the Telugu-speaking areas from the Madras state. So the Madras, so earlier this Andhra, the present-day Telangana, then Tamil Nadu, all these were under Madras presidency, and of course the official language there was Tamil. But Andhra Pradesh people, they are Telugu speakers, and Telugu is a very different language from Tamil. Telugu and Tamil both are classical languages, and they do share a certain number of vocabulary because they have shared vocabularies with Sanskrit. But they are very different languages, and of course Andhra Pradesh has a very different culture and history. It's a very, so that gave rise to the division of Andhra Pradesh from the Madras presidency on linguistic basis, and then it started. So linguistic states and later linguistic states were created to ensure that people who speak the same language lived in the same state. Some states were purposefully created to uphold the differences based on culture, ethnicity, or geography. For example, Nagaland, Jharkhand, Uttarakhand. Jharkhand and Uttarakhand are the most recently formed states based on linguistic rights and ethnicity question.
So this may be the reason, you know, like as you said about Nagaland, I think the whole of Northeast were at one point of time under Assam. So on it, like linguistic line, like Mizoram, Manipur, all those were created?
Pretty much.
Stay tuned to All Things Policy. We'll be right back after a short commercial break.
Moving ahead, like, how does Indian Constitution protect the linguistic right of its citizen?
Indian Constitution has a number of articles to protect the linguistic rights of the linguistic minorities. And the linguistic minorities need not be the speaker of one of the 22 languages mentioned in the 8th schedule of the constitution. In other words, we can say that linguistic minorities at the state level mean any group of people whose language, whose mother tongues, are different from the principal language of the state. And at the state and taluk or tehsil levels, different from the principal language of that particular district or taluk or tehsil concerned. And the safeguards for linguistic minorities derived their authority from two sources, Constitution of India and the scheme of the consensual safeguards agreed to at the All India level from time to time. So Constitution has Article 29 and Article 30, which protects the interests of minorities. And these two articles work in tandem with the fundamental right to education. These two articles says that any section of the citizen residing in the territory of India having a distinct language, script or culture of its own shall have right to conserve the same, and they will not be denied admission into any educational institution maintained by the state or receiving aid out of state funds or grounds or only based on any differences. And the linguistic minorities, they have the right to establish and administer educational institution of their choice. So yes, Article 29 and 30, they ensure that linguistic minority, they get to preserve their own language. They also can avail and exercise their right to education in independent India. Also, there is Article 347, 350. They also safeguard the interest of linguistic minorities. Article 347 says that on a demand being made on that behalf, the president may, if he is satisfied that a substantial proportion of the population of a state desires the use of any language spoken by them to be recognized by the state, direct that such language shall also be the officially recognized throughout that state or any part thereof for such purpose as he may specify. So Article 347, we can get a very good understanding of that. Recently, there was 19th May, the Language Martyr Day in Barak Valley, Assam. So Barak Valley consists of three districts, and 95 to 97% of the inhabitants there are Bangla speakers. But when India was independent, the newly formed Assam state, they said that Assamese will only be the
official language.
Official language. So in that case, the people, of course, they had a representation and everything, and there were some unpleasant accidents that also happened. But at that point of time, this article was implemented to ensure that, like, when a sizable population is there who use another language, so for that particular area, Bangla was made as an official language along with English. Then comes Article 350. Article 350, it says that language to be used in representation for redress of grievance. So every person shall be entitled to submit a representation of the redress of any grievance to any officer or authority of the union or state in any of the languages used in the union or in the state as the case may be. Again, let's take the example of Assam. Assam uses Hindi, Homia, Assamese, English. But if a person from Barak Valley wants to give a representation for the redress of any grievances to an officer, that person, he or she may do it in Bangla. So Article 350A, 350 has two sections, 350A and 350B. 350A says that it shall be the endeavor of every state and every local authority within the state to provide adequate facilities for instruction in the mother tongue at the primary stage of education to children belonging to linguistic minority groups, and the president may issue such directions to any state as he considers necessary or proper for securing the provision of such facilities. And 350B, there shall be a special officer for linguistic minorities to be appointed by the president. Again, I'll give the example of Assam. I'm sorry, because Assam is a very linguistically a rich state, and we can see that the vernacular medium there are state-run Bengali medium schools, Bangla medium schools, Assamese medium schools, Hindi medium schools, Manipuri medium schools, And also other languages like Nagamese or Mizo or even Boro are taught at the primary level. Like, you know, those languages are the medium of instruction, at least at the primary level. So in that case, Assam uses at least 11 languages as medium of instruction for the local schools. That is where Article 350A comes into being.
You know, I think like it is the foresight of our like founding fathers, like they could foresee this and whereby they gave this, you know, like rights to those who were in linguistic minorities, like only then truly, that's why we have unity in diversity.
Of course, of course.
People from different community, different ethnicity, language, they can truly, you know, blossom together. And
true.
I think sometimes it helps in creating, saves us from the future problem. Like as you are in linguistic, you know, like what happened to Pakistan, how it got broken due to the language issue.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it is very important. Like, moreover, like each and every language is a part of our culture. So they should not get lost. We need to preserve this.
See, when a language gets lost, the people lose their history, their identity, their, what should I say, their traditional knowledge, their everything. So language is not merely some words and phrases and sentences. Language is very much a part of someone's existence.
That's true. Like, so like,
and a community can only flourish if their language is well protected and well spoken. But that also, like, you know, it's also very important to say that one should not be prejudiced about language.
That's true. Like, so how are Indian education policy and language policy related? Like, if you can explain this, and how does that reflect it on our newly revised new education policy, the policy?
Yes, India already has a three language policy, and it has the three language policy from the very beginning. So according to the National Education Policy of 1968, Three language policy means that a third language apart from Hindi and English, which should belong to modern India, should be used for education in state level. And so in that way, different states had different languages, and Hindi spoken states, for them, since the rest of India were taught English, Hindi, along with their own regional languages, there was a kind of a proposal that the Hindi-speaking states should learn a southern language. But it didn't happen. But it was on the policy level that Hindi-spoken states should be taught a southern language. So now, then this education policy went through changes. And according to the National Curriculum Framework for Teacher Education in 2005, the language cuts across the entire school curriculum, and hence the role of language as a medium and tool of communication assumes a very great importance. And hence it was suggested, rather it is preferred, that the teachers are multilingual so that they can cater to maximum number of students with their needs, because it's proven in different researches, as well as our government also believes, that for primary level of education, it is always beneficial if a student is taught in his or her own mother tongue. Now, NEP 2020, the new education policy, which was revised in 2020, it replaces the 34-year-old National Policy of Education that was formed in 1968. The three language formula that also has undergone some changes, and I'll try to give you a very simple highlights. So first, as a medium of instruction, whenever possible, the medium of instruction until at least grade 5 should be the home language or mother tongue or local language or the regional language, whichever is possible. The three language formula will continue to be implemented to promote multilingualism as well as promote national unity. NEP 2020 states that there will be a greater flexibility of the three language formula, and no language will be imposed on any state. To learn the three languages will be choice of the state, region, and students themselves, as long as at least two of the three languages are native to India. So this NEP 2020, it promotes an early implementation of three language formula to promote multilingualism right from the school level. The three language policy leaves it to the state to decide on what that language would be. And the policy says that the three language formula will be continued to be implemented while keeping in mind the constitutional provisions, aspirations of the people, regions and the union, and the need to promote multilingualism as well as promote national unity. However, this NEP 2020 also says there will be a greater flexibility and it will be completely up to the state, the community, the students to decide the languages they want to learn. So we can say that in particular, students who wish to change one or more of the three languages they are studying may do so in grade 6 or 7 as long as they are able to demonstrate the basic proficiency in the three languages they learned before. It adds from the implementation from and the policy says there will be a major effort from both the central and state governments to invest in large number of language teachers in all the regional languages across the country, and in particular for all the languages mentioned in the 8th schedule of Constitution of India.
Thank you so much, Satrupa, for your insight. And with this, we'll end today's podcast.
Thank you so much.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle, @TakshashilaInst, or our website, takshashila.org.in.